Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for your presence with us. We're thankful for your protection over us and the way you've cared for us in these past few weeks. We pray that you'll continue to guide us, our hearts in the truth. We pray that we will be faithful to you. We pray your blessing upon us and continue to guide us in your word and in the truth. And we pray that you will continue to for your purposes to continue in our hearts. And we ask your blessing upon our time together this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's on this day long ago that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We don't know the date of Christ's birth, but we do know the date of his death. And it's directly related to the Jewish feast of Passover, because Jesus Christ was and is the Passover Lamb. John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So on the Christian religious calendar, this is the conclusion of Holy Week. It focuses upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Actually, this week began with Palm Sunday. On that day, Jesus entered Jerusalem riding a donkey, as a ruler would enter a city. And he entered as the Savior and as the King. And the people cried out, "Hosanna! He saves! Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when they shouted, "Hosanna," it means "save us," or "he saves." There was great expectations with reference to him. And then, just a few days later, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." On what is now designated as Good Friday, Jesus was arrested, tried, condemned, and crucified and buried. He was in the tomb for 3 days, a few hours on Friday, all day Saturday, the Sabbath, and a few days on Sunday, a few hours rather on Sunday. And then the resurrection took place. And ever since that time, believers in Christ greet Resurrection Sunday with the bold statement, "He is risen." And the response is, "He is risen indeed. He is risen from the dead," one of the greatest moments in all of human history. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, in great victory over sin and death. This is history. You say, but what does it mean? You say, what is the theological significance or the truth significance of his death, burial, and resurrection? I mean, many realize and recognize the historical event, but don't fully understand its meaning. The significance of the resurrection pertains to all who are in Jesus Christ, who believe in the Son of God, who believe in the Savior, who believe that he died upon the cross to save us from our sins, believe that he died for them. And the meaning is for all who are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. It's important to understand the benefits of the resurrection that are granted to us as Christians. And I want to emphasize three blessings that the resurrection of Jesus Christ secured for us. The resurrection was a secured event, first in the past, second in the present, and third in the future. I'll explain what these are. But this great event was not just something to be memorialized in history, but it was a truth to be remembered throughout all eternity. Jesus Christ accomplished a great work for us, and the resurrection is the seal of that great work. It signifies that the work of the cross was finished and complete, lacking in nothing. In church history, there have been many people who have died, many martyrs, many even being crucified. John Huss, in July of 1415, was burned at the stake. William Tyndale, in October of 1536, was also burned at the stake. These are godly men, one dying for his theology, the other dying for translating the Bible into English. And these martyrs witnessed the truthfulness of their faith to God and the truthfulness of their witness to mankind as well. But these deaths, though significant and though very important, never accomplished any blessing that was conferred upon the saints, that was given to us. These men died as a testimony of their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes the death of Christ different? When he dies on the cross, suddenly everything changes. When others die on a cross, nothing changes for us. It's just a witness that they make. So first I want to just look back at the cross. I want to, since we're talking about the blessings that come through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to just indicate what is so significant and why the cross of Jesus Christ pertains to us. How this death is like no other. And there are four ways in which Jesus Christ went to the cross. And it's important to know these four ways. The first word I want to use is the word voluntary. And he went to the cross voluntarily. You say, well, he was tried by the Jews, and then he was executed by the Romans. And in fact, it is our sin that killed him. But now you're saying it was voluntary, and I say, I'm not saying it. It's the Bible that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the love of the Father. And Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. And the Bible wants us to understand the voluntary nature of the death of Jesus Christ because it's an expression of his great love for us. What Christ was doing on the cross, he was doing because of his love for the Father and his love for us. The second thing that makes it significant is he is an appointed representative. We use the word federal head. That word is not in the Bible, but he is our representative. He was appointed by God to represent us at the cross. And as our federal head, what happens to him therefore happens to us. The third word is the word substitution. He took our place. He was appointed by God to be our representative. Then he stands in our place. We are the ones who are guilty. We are the ones who are sinners. And he's appointed to take our place in judgment, in suffering. And the fourth word that is used is the word imputation. And that is, he took our sin. It was charged to his account. Imputation means what rightly belongs to one is charged to the account or is granted to another. And what rightly belongs to us is our sin and our death. And God himself charged our sin and our sins, our sin nature, the acts of sin, our sin in Adam, charged all to Jesus Christ upon the cross. So he took our sin, he took our place, he's our representative, he did so because of great love for us. That's how he got there. And that's most significant to understand because then there's a great work that is accomplished. But to understand first how he got there is the reason why we know that this work is for us. It's accomplished on our behalf. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says, he made him who knew no sin. That he, first he in that passage, is God the Father made God the Son. He made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And what that passage is referring to is two imputations. First, the imputation of our sin to Jesus Christ, and then the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to us. But that's the setting, that's the placement of the cross. Here is Jesus Christ, now on the cross, in our place, our sin charged to his account. What's the great work that's accomplished? And there's three words that speak of this great work as well. You know those words, it's propitiation, reconciliation, and redemption. And propitiation means that God poured out his judgment, God poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our place for our sins until his eternal wrath is satisfied in his eternal Son for our eternal salvation. Wrath is satisfied. Judgment is accomplished. And there's nothing left. So God is satisfied. Reconciliation indicates that God is the one who pursued the reconciliation with us as sinners. We are rebels, hostile to God. And it is God who really sought this restoration. And in doing so, because of the propitiation, he is at peace. So there's only one place on earth where God is at peace with sinners, and that's at the cross. And you come to the cross to stand in this reconciling work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And the final word is the word redemption. And the redemption means to pay the ransom price to set us free. And this death that Jesus Christ died satisfied divine justice, reestablished our from enmity to friendship with God, and paid whatever price was required in order that we would be set free from sin and death. This is the accomplishment of the cross. And the resurrection sealed the victory. The penalty of sin was paid in full. The presence of sin and death was broken. And one day the presence, the power of sin and death was broken. The presence of sin and death will be removed from us. And this is what God has accomplished. So now you say, well, you were going to give us three truths stemming from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that pertain to us. And for the first one, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4 and verses 22 through 25. And in this passage, God is talking about how Abraham, as well as David, but Abraham is designated here as the father of faith, but how he was justified, how he was declared righteous, and it was imputed. The righteousness of the one day Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was charged to his account. That's amazing truth. But in summing up this statement, he says this, therefore, also it was reckoned to him, reading in verse 22, Romans chapter 4, verse 22, therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Reckoned to who? It was reckoned to Abraham. Speaking of Abraham, because he believed God and because he was trusting in God, God imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. Now it says this, now, not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, to those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And notice this verse. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions was raised because of our justification. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions, we understand that. Jesus Christ was delivered up and placed upon the cross and suffered and died for our sins, our transgressions, our overstepping the bounds. And he was raised because of our justification. That's an interesting statement. And justification is what happens when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not justified at the cross. We're justified because of the cross when we believe. And when we believe, the forgiveness of all of our sins that was secured by Jesus Christ in our place for our sins is applied to us. And that's when we receive it. But the righteousness of Christ is also imputed to us when we believe. And this passage is saying, because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ lives, and because he lives, the righteousness of Christ, the living Christ, can be charged to our account. It is the living Christ who justifies us. And he was resurrected because of our justification to cause our justification. Because of the resurrection, because Christ lives, God can impute the righteousness of Christ to us, which is essential for our justification. So one of the things, and I always say, well, with reference to this truth, I always say, this is in our past because we are justified Christians. We are justified believers. We have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of the God and the Savior. And when we believe, we are declared to be righteous in Christ. The righteousness of Christ is charged to our account. God stands before us and looks at us as the judicial judge and says, you're perfect. You're fully forgiven of all of your sins, and you are righteous in the righteousness of Christ. And Christ was raised that we would be declared righteous. It's one of the great truths of the resurrection. And probably most people, when they think of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, think of just a great sacrifice that was made. But there's wonderful truth in all that he accomplished for us, and then how that when he was raised from the dead, the righteousness of Christ is charged to our account. The resurrection was necessary. If Christ, and I'll speak as a fool, if Christ would have died and stayed in the tomb, if Christ would have died, it would have indicated, and staying in the tomb would indicate that death was the victor, and what he paid was not enough, it was not sufficient, it was not complete, it was not finished. And therefore, there would be no risen Christ and righteousness of Christ to declare us righteous. So it is necessary for him to be raised from the dead in victory over sin and death in order then to justify us as believers. So Christ was raised from the dead, and we say, he lives, he is risen, and his righteousness is the cause of our justification. That's the past. Let me give you a present blessing that is obtained by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This time I want you to look at Romans chapter 6. And I want to read verses 3 through 11 of Romans chapter 6. And here in this passage, it's speaking about how we live the Christian life. And the question is asked, well, we received grace because we were sinners. So do we continue to sin in order that we might receive more grace? And the answer is given, may that never be. But don't you know who you are? And in verse 3, he begins to talk about who we are in Christ. And notice again the statement here, particularly in verses 3 and 4, but notice this. Verse 3, do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Therefore, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me go back and look at verses 2 and 3 again. Verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead, even by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Baptism speaks not of water baptism here, but our spiritual baptism into the body of Christ, which means effectively our union in Christ. And we are in union in Christ in his death and in his resurrection, in his life. And the point is that Christ was raised from the dead in life, that we might be in him, walking in the newness of that life. It's a very strong purpose statement when it says, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead, in order that, the very strong purpose being, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we might walk in newness of life. That newness means new in quality, new and improved. We're walking now in the newness of Christ's life, which is new and different from what we previously were living, but it's new in quality. It's new and improved, a superior innovations to this life. We walk in the newness of Christ's life. And this text, there's a great deal of information in this text, but one of the things about this text that is clear is that we are to charge this truth to our account. The last statement, verse 11, says impute or consider, and it's in the present tense, which means you're to keep on doing this all the time. All the time you're to remind yourself that Christ was raised from the dead and we in him, that we might walk in the newness of his life, not in the oldness of sin and because of our sinfulness receiving grace, but in the newness of his life. We are in him. And we're to charge that victory to our hearts every day. We're to walk in the victory of Christ by abiding in him. And this is a truth that is important because God wants us to know that as we're living our lives, we're not just declared to be righteous and then we go off and live as we please. We're declared to be righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're justified. He was raised that we should be justified. He was raised that we should walk in his life, walk in the newness of life. It's the very terms that the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Speaking about his identity with Christ at the cross in his death. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is I who live. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. If you'll notice this verse, it begins with the cross, it ends with the cross. In the middle of that, between the cross and the cross, I was crucified with Christ, and life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You're back at the cross again. Which basically is saying, you remember that you're living in the cross, in light of the cross. It's before us, it's behind us. We're always living in light of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in the midst is this life of Christ. Christ living in us. So that's a wonderful truth that we have. We have our justification because of the resurrection. We have, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can walk in newness of life. Walk in his life. And let me give you the last one. The last one is in 1 Corinthians 15. And here we have this text of scripture. Let me read verses 20 through 24. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. Here he's speaking of the future benefit. The future benefit is that we shall be glorified in Christ. We shall have a glorified body. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we shall be resurrected. So because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we shall be justified. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we walk in newness of life. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we shall be glorified. We shall be like him. All of this obtained in direct reference here in this passage to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage goes on to speak of the body as if it is a seed that is sown in the ground in this life, sown in the ground in this life, but raised, resurrected, a different body. So it says it's sown a perishable body, verse 42. And it's reaped an imperishable body. It's sown in dishonor and raised in glory, verse 43. Verse 43, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body in verse 44, raised, reaped a spiritual body. Verse 49, sown in the image of the earthly, raised and reaped in the image of the heavenly. And you say, well, when will this take place? Well, the text goes on to say so as that as well, because it's at the last trumpet, when Jesus Christ returns. This is the glorious time when Jesus celebrates his resurrection with all of us, because we shall be raised from the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed. We shall be glorified. We have this imperishable glory, powerful, spiritual image of the heavenly body. I listen to all those terms and I say, those are wonderful terms. And I'd like to know more about them. And I say, I will one day. But for now, it's enough just to have the expectation that there's this new and improved glorified body where sin is removed and death is removed. Hard for me even to think about this. But in verses 53 and 54, it says this, when he comes, the perishable must put on the imperishable and the mortal must put on the immortality. And all of this because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And we in him. So when he was raised from the dead, he secured and was the cause of our justification. And when he was raised from the dead, he was raised that we might walk in his life, in the newness of his life. And when he was resurrected from the dead, it guarantees the day is coming when we shall be resurrected from the dead, where we shall be glorified, and that we shall be like him. And that's the great promise that God gives to us. There's so many people who give sort of a American version or celebration, since we live in America, of the resurrection week. And they think in terms of just a historical event that has taken place. When you open up your Bibles, you see the wonder of what God was doing at the cross and the wonder and the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Christ was not risen from the dead, we would have none of the blessings that are promised. We would not have justification. We would not have walking in newness of life. And we would not have hope, the hope of glory. None of that would be ours. But Christ is risen. It's a glorious hope that we have in him. His resurrection, your justification. His resurrection, your sanctification in this life. His resurrection, your glory. The fullness of all of our salvation is sealed by the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all that he accomplished there on the cross for us. And this truth is for believers in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is your story. This is your Christ. You're in union with him. You've been baptized into his body. This is the blessings that are yours. This is what we celebrate this day. And we rejoice in him. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to Christ. Trust in him. And the wonderful thing is that the Lord says that all who come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. Come to Christ. Trust in him as the Son of God and the Savior that he is. And all of these blessings are yours. We have a great hope and great blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he went to the cross. He suffered, he died, he was raised from the dead in order that we might be blessed forever. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and our justification. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the newness of life. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ risen that we might be raised from the dead as well. What glorious truth we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we might live for him, live by him, with the expectation of the blessings that only you can give, and you give in Christ. So we're thankful that we can say Jesus Christ was raised, and even most thankful that he was raised in victory over sin and death for us. We have a great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.